conversation. She should smear down in flames. I'm just like a naughty schoolboy, but now I'm a begging for the cane. Oh yeah.
Excellent. That was our mate Lee and Smile X with their song called Mystique. And you're listening to us on the 21st podcast on bandweblogs.com.
That's right. Bandweblogs podcast show coming to you from Oxford, England. Jenny and Dave here.
Up here on the chilly hill with a bit of sun.
Yes, and blue skies all around.
And we've been away for a month. But that's because we've been wrapped up in World Cup fever.
As we've said all along, that we couldn't wait for the World Cup, and suddenly the podcast went silent.
Yeah, well, we learnt more about acrobatics than we did when we were watching the Olympics.
Yeah, I think so.
And there's an Oscar. Don't worry if you didn't get the golden boot, Ronaldo, but you'll get an Oscar. Is that fair?
You mean Cristiano Ronaldo?
That one, yeah. Well, other Ronaldo's on his exercise bike at the moment, I'd imagine.
Before we go too far into football talk, we do have to once again mention SmileX, who happens to be from Oxford, England, a local band as far as we're concerned. And we really enjoyed that song, Mystique. Excellent music. Old school rock.
That's what I love about Lee. Last time we saw him play live, he was at the Wheatsheaf in Oxford, the time when he ended up with a broken bottle on the top of the PA stand, head banging.
Was that really the last time we saw him?
No, last time, sure? I saw him was in Tesco's. And we were talking about vegan soya rice.
Oh, that That's exciting, isn't it? But yeah, he's one of the most, speaking of exciting, he's one of the most exciting front men that you'll find in this town and possibly in this country.
Yeah, he's very little, but he's a lunatic.
And I like to compare him a bit to Perry Farrell when watching him. And you can find out more about SmileX if you go to their MySpace page, www.myspace.com/SmileX, SmileX.
Nice one, Lee. Put the kettle on.
So, yes, that was our opener. And, yep, we're back. We're on track.
After the World Cup.
Yeah, World Cup fever. Lots of things happened. England didn't go as far as we were hoping, but further than we thought.
Like Mick McCarthy were there watching football, talking about how it should have been played. Like, they don't deserve to go through to the final the way they were playing. You don't play one man up front, especially when he's injured and he's come back and he's not match fit.
Now you're beginning to sound more like Alan Anson with that one.
Mick McCarthy. Hi, hello, I'm Mick McCarthy. I drive a traction engine.
Okay. Hopefully all our England listeners will understand that, but if not anywhere else in the world, Mick McCarthy used to be a manager for Sunderland.
Aye.
And he's no longer managing them, but he was commentating for a lot of the World Cup games.
Aye, yeah, and he also managed Ireland, and that was that fabulous occasion when Roy Keane threw his toys out of pram and walked out of his only chance to play in World Cup under my management.
Also, not to brush aside Mick McCarthy,
Don't brush me
aside. No, I'm not going to.
It cost you a lot of money.
But the thing is my favorite football commentator happens to be John Motson, Motty. I love him.
Motty's a good lad.
Yeah, he's great. I love his stats. He talks about everything you would want to know during the game, but he doesn't go too far off track while watching the game, I don't think.
He's very tight when you're at the bar with him, though.
So that's our No, that can't be all our football talk.
Well, England, you've got to pull your socks up. But the other day, it was France, and it was Italy.
Yes, it was.
And Italy won, and I sort of wanted Italy to win.
Did you? I wanted France to win.
I'm glad.
Well, I'm not, but you know, Italy, it's cool, it's fine with me. Of course, the whole Zidane
respect episode. Going out to Zidane. It was like a wild beast.
Zidane.
The Italian chappy did question his parenthood, and put forward certain suggestions that his mother might not be chaste.
Yeah, and regardless of, well, we don't want, you know, it's all conjecture, I believe.
Well, yeah, but what we know is he turned round and he butted him well and good in the
like
old rib cage. I thought he was going to go down with some sort of cardiacal sort of respiratory problem.
That was very interesting, but that's what makes football exciting. And you can't write it. You just have to watch it.
No.
You can't predict it. People try to, but you just never know what might happen during a game.
It's like an improvised soap opera, but with a football.
And yeah. One thing that bothered me the most during the World Cup was the yellow cards,
referees.
The refs. More games that could have been enjoyed were ruined by certain calls the ref made, especially during the U.S. game or the American U.S. USA against Ghana. And I believe that the U.S. should have stayed in. They shouldn't have lost to Ghana, but because of the ref, we went out when we did.
But you know why the refs are doing it now, pulling as many yellow cards and red cards and putting themselves out there?
Because trying to prove a point?
No, because they've all got websites and they want to sell advertising space. That's why if they make a name for themselves, everyone's going to go onto the internet, tap their name in, but their website's going to come up with their name and there's the adverts that people tap on.
I think it's a theory, but it's a weak theory.
That's part of where the money's going.
Nah.
The other one's a bit too deep and dark to talk about on a podcast because, like, it involves violin cases.
Yes. Okay. So that's football talk. World Cup. We experienced all the games pretty much and loved it.
It was lovely. It was a whole month, and I'm using the same excuse that Sham69 used.
And what's that again?
We're promoting my song that is about the World Cup.
I see.
Although I haven't got a song about the World Cup, but like there's so many of them, I could sort of point to one and say that's mine.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Silence. I don't get it.
You're not meant to.
Okay. While we're trying to think about what to talk about next.
We're talking about the next band we're playing, which
No, not yet.
No. I'm not playing a song on my banjo.
Exactly.
Well, now I have to don the magical musical equipment.
And while Dave does that, he's going to make some sounds in the background. I'm going to talk about band weblogs just a little bit. www.bandweblogs.com. Band Weblogs has a new look to it. So if you want to check it out, there's lots of entries and, of course, links to cool blogs. And that's the advertisement for the website there.
It's all very cool.
Yeah. And so now Dave's going to play his song.
Mountain looking down across the earth to meet a country hilltops was the reason for my birth. But far down in the valleys where the humans multiply and scared the land so badly that you'd think that they were blind. I left before you die. Work those factory hours for the food you've got to buy. Dig up all the flowers, lay down some rose. Pray for some forgiveness if religion's what you choose. To listen to the things you've got to say, I don't want to play that stupid game you have to play. Here upon the mountain, I can't see it all. The game that you are playing is the game that kills us all, kills us.
Good, Dave.
Oh, I can't remember, all West Indian then.
So, what's the name of the song?
It's called High Mountain Hop.
And what gave you the idea to write a song such as that?
I was a youngster in my 20s living in Brighton, and I was involved with the Green Party. Well, I wasn't involved with them. I dabbled when they were called the Ecology Party and Jonathan Porritt was in charge. But then I realised it was all a load of nonsense and then I wrote the song.
Okay, so very nice. Nice little interlude, live music on the show. And speaking of live music, one thing we really wanted to talk about was our experience on Top of the Pops.
I was a teenager for a night.
And what was it, like 3 weeks ago that we did that?
Around that, yeah.
2 or 3 weeks ago, we were at Top of the Pop Studios in London at the BBC Studios. And we were there as guests of the Guillemots. And they performed for the first time live on Top of the Pops.
Poor old Greg Pecker, he was shaking like a little leaf when he was nervous because he didn't want to mess up live on Top of the Pops because he didn't want to end up on a blooper show.
Yeah, because it was live, and not all bands play live on the show, but some bands opt to do that, which, of course, the Guillemots did, and Greg's the drummer, but Fife, the singer, Greg, Arista, and McGraw, they all did great.
Fair go, they held it together because I was down the front pulling funny faces at Fife and like watching Greg playing away in his ceremonial robe.
Yes, and also one highlight for us was the fact that Muse was on the same day, and we could not believe it.
Bloody Muse.
I mean, we show up.
Bloody Muse.
As friends of the Guillemots.
Bloody Muse.
And Muse is playing.
They were standing there like arms length. I could have tapped him on the shoulder and asked him the time if I wanted to.
Well, you wanted to talk to him about aliens.
I wanted to ask him if aliens were people from the future rather than people from another planet because it's more feasible.
So there you go. There's a shout out to Muse. Maybe they could get in touch.
Yeah, Geezer from Muse, email us on that one because I'm dying to know. More money's on it being people from the future rather from another planet because it would sort of make more sense.
But that's another blog, podcast.
That's bloody another planet.
The deal is that Muse played. I mean, Guillemots played. They were awesome. Ray LaMontagne played. Busta Rhymes was there. Mary J. Blige was supposed to be there, but she wasn't. I'm not sure why.
Skyver.
And who was? What was the band that you were really excited? The fact we were hoping they were going to be there, but they weren't.
Sham 69, Jimmy Percy, Hurry Up Harry. I only saw him once, only for about half an hour, because like we saw him at the Locarno in Portsmouth, and we got chased out by some skinheads because we thought Sham was a punk band in the late 70s, but it ends up that they're a skinhead band and they had a Nazi right-wing movement, people following them around, and Jimmy used to cry on stage. I've got a live album of him and he's crying and the skinheads are hitting people and Jimmy's crying on stage. He breaks down in tears because he is totally against all this. He's done anti-Nazi gigs. And what does he get? Right-wing fools in the front of his gig. In his fans, wouldn't you cry?
I would think so. Well, quite the experience to see something like that.
Well, I sort of did, but I was sort of running away at the same time.
So they were featured on the show that we were at for Top of the Pops because they had the new football song that they had done the charts.
They revamped Hurry Up Harry. They called it Hurry Up England. Come on, we're gonna win the cup.
And what's sad about that is, yeah, it was great at the time because at that point, England was certainly still in the World Cup. But now it's like, what can you do?
No, it's cool because, like, you got to look at it. Like, they've probably got a few quid for doing that anyway.
Yeah.
And they get that money to spend on seeing the World Cup, hanging out with their mates, a month of just being very drunk.
Riding on the wave of a cool song that could have been number one.
Yeah. And having a laugh and watching the World Cup.
Well, there you go.
And having a laugh and watching the World Cup. There's nothing wrong. That's what it's about. And don't get upset by the referees.
It's hard not to. But so Muse, who played at Top of the Pops, after they played the live show, they stopped filming. And the hosts were like, okay, now stick around because Muse is going to play an additional 5 songs off. You know, well, they were filming it, but it wasn't live. And, of course, we'd already known they were going to do that from inside information. So we were very excited about that. And when they did play, I was up on the stage the Guillemots had played on, looking directly at Muse, and Dave was right up front while they played the whole time.
I was clapping away with all the teenagers down the front, getting squashed in, trying to duck the camera that they use on that crane thing that swings around.
Yeah, the cameras are like a ride. If you're like a little fairy or something, you could get in one of those cameras.
I'll tell you what, you could take the side of someone's head off of one of those.
And you could ride around like a funfair ride or something.
But I guess, exactly, like one of them octopus games.
Exactly.
One of them, you are. But you could, and who would you sue? Who would get sued? BBC got too much money. If you like, took side of your head off of one of them cameras, who would you sue?
Well, hopefully it's never happened.
I'm knocking on wood.
Well, it's too late now because BBC's Top of the Pops is now going to be defunct as of the end of this month, I think.
That's like doing it without Bootsy Collins.
So we were lucky to have been there because the show is going to be no longer. And it's been going for the last 40 years or so. So, like, Hendrix and The Who.
Exploited.
Everybody, you know, everyone's played that show. Who's anybody?
Captain Sensible doing Happy Talk.
And for anyone who's not, like, say, in the States, who aren't familiar with Top of the Pops, it's kind of like American Bandstand, but a trendier version of American Bandstand.
And talking of trendy and American and Bandstand, that leads us nicely on to our last band of the evening.
Yes, it does. We do have some things to talk about with this band.
You know more about them than I do, lovely.
I think we both know about the same. The fact of the matter is their name is...
A Beggar's Opera.
A Beggar's Opera.
And the song is Eulalia.
Yes, and they hail from the Reading area.
They come from Reading. And a eulalia isn't a musical instrument, just in case anyone's feeling clever and going, oh, a eulalia, that's about one of them instruments that they used in Roman times. Well, it's not. Eulalia is the name of a lady.
Yes. So it's kind of a local-ish show today because we had, of course, Smilex, who's from Oxford. And, of course, our Dave here played his song. He's from Oxford. And then... A Beggar's Opera is from the Reading area, so that's pretty local for us. And this song is very Libertines-esque, or Blind Melon, if you mix the two together, kind of.
I think that's a very good analysis of the combination of the music.
And normally I don't like... Thank you, Dave. Normally I don't like to do that because, you know, usually it's good to just listen to music and make your own mind up.
Yeah, but at the same time, as a musician, you do.
I can't help myself.
It's like being a footballer watching a third division game, I should imagine.
Why is that?
Because you'd end up looking like Harry Redknapp.
Still don't get it.
It bloats your cheeks. No.
So, we're going to play their song, Eulalia.
And it's been fun doing this podcast because the sun's been out and the World Cup is finished and we can relax.
That's right.
With our trousers rolled up and our hair tied back, we're ready to leave the show, go into the garden and play croquet.
Before we do that, though, type in myspace.com/abeggarsopera and you'll find out more about the band, because we're going to leave you with their song, Eulalia.
Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Band Weblogs podcast show. Yeah. See you later. Woohoo!
Because it's crazy, I know, that they took her life just to remonstrate with the magistrates and why. And she crashed against the stone with her body torn to the bone, screaming out a ooh, ooh, fill a sun alone. For it is in this very west lies the place this might arrest, in the town which gave her birth, Saint Eulalia. Ooh, ooh, fill us in her. 'Cause it's crazy, I know, that they took her life. And while she lay virginal, half naked in the snow, snow. For it is in this very west lies the place this matter rests.